So, do you want to set a fire?
No, never.
No, never. How dare you say that about me?
I am lazy.
There's a certain part of me that's like I am a power bottom.
Yeah, I mean, like, who doesn't love the attention?
I mean, it's a compliment at the end of the day.
Yeah. Guys, those are things that are, like, subtle. At least with dying, okay, but, like, they know they're going to kill you. So at least it's, like, very, like, up front in your face.
You want to get noticed? Take it off.
Hola, bienvenidos a Gay al Punto.
Hey, this is Gay to the Point. My name's Antonio.
My name is Clarence.
We're just two gay guys talking about everything and anything.
Or anyone.
In a not so straight fashion.
Fashion, fashion, fashion.
Well, thanks for tuning in. But how are you feeling today, Clarence?
I'm feeling decent. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I'm feeling okay.
So actually I have something to say. I have something to say.
I'm gay.
I'm gay. I've been playing on repeat that new viral song WAP and Toxic remix. It's actually so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but like I don't know. I think it's
Cardi B.
Just too popular. Like, I just don't want to be into it yet.
Oh, it's like too hot in a topic.
Yeah.
You like, don't want to jump like the bandwagon?
I don't
want to
be, no, I don't want to, I want to be off the wagon.
You want
get me off this wagon. But you know what's actually like a really, really good remix that I'm so upset that doesn't exist anymore? It was like Kia's.
My neck, my back, my yeah. pussy, and my crack.
But then that remixed with a song from Frozen, Love is an Open Door.
Ew. Wait, so what do you good. Mean it's not like a remix anymore?
No, it was. So the story was that I was on SoundHound, and then the person who had it on SoundHound, and I would like always listen to it, but I didn't, or not SoundHound, SoundCloud. And I don't know how to like rip music off of SoundCloud, so I didn't download it. But then after a while, then it just stopped appearing. So then I messaged the guy who created it, and it was like, I will pay you money for this song. And he never responded. So upset.
Maybe he doesn't want the money, or at least your money.
I know, no one wants my money. Does anyone want my money out there? Calling all people. Money.
Subscribe to his OnlyFans.
And I'll give you money. Because no one wants to see my OnlyFans. So instead of like paying me to see my own fans, I'll pay you. Please look at my OnlyFans.
It's a great deal for you listeners out there. Sex capade, we're having a good time.
Sex capades,
we're having a good time.
Don't do the rest of that song. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
Here we are about to talk about our sex capades. Anything in dealing about
sex? Adventures in sex? I didn't know what you meant by that, because I was like, like, what's an escapade?
I thought it's like a party.
Really? I thought it was like just like a, like, what is it? Like, an escapade is just kind of like a, isn't it kind of like an adventure?
Yeah.
I want to take you on. Is it escapade? The actual song is escapade, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a cascade.
No, I thought it was like, or escape. Escapade? Anyways, here we are talking about sex adventures, right?
Yeah.
What is your biggest fear of hooking up?
Dying. Is that not your fear?
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. I like that risk of like maybe tonight's the last night.
Do you really like it though?
I do. I like living on the edge of glory.
But like, okay, like I definitely do feel like, okay, because especially like as a gay Asian, you know, that like the only story that I can think of is that guy who went around like murdering people and cutting up their bodies and sending them to schools.
That was the guy from Montreal, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he like, and his target usually was like gay Asians.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, like we are really like meek and like dainty. So yes, like I will get cut up. So like, yeah, no, thank you.
I mean, I guess it's that fear, but then wouldn't you also like, I mean, I guess.
Wouldn't you find it exciting?
Wouldn't you find it exciting? Just the like thrill risk. Of like, you know, oh my gosh, will this person cut me up into several pieces and send me
who
to
knows?
Schools?
Oh my God, I could be in the news.
I mean, you know what they say, any publicity is good publicity.
It was my hand that was sent to that elementary school.
Oh my gosh, this is getting so bad. I just feel like, I don't know. I guess I've never had a fear of that. Yeah, maybe something bad would happen if I were to, like, we're hooking up with some place that I don't know and who, what. But, like, I feel like that's, like, part of the deal when you're on these, like, apps or whatever. Like, you know that is the risk. So if you don't like it, then don't take it.
But you really don't have that fear.
No, because also I just feel like for myself, too, it's like, well, I think at least maybe I'm, like, overconfident enough that thinking that I can like take care of myself if shit goes hits the fan.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone who's ever been like killed has said that.
Well, they can't testify because they're dead.
So true. Never mind. I take back what I said. I'm not scared anymore. No, I feel like that's like kind of like my biggest fear. You never know like what's gonna happen. I think the thing is like you do your best to take like the kind of cues of like how this person is behaving and stuff like that, just to like, but did I ever tell you about that time that I hooked up with a guy that was like a kind of like, I'm pretty sure he was
the serial killer.
No, he was the guy that I thought was a serial killer. It's not confirmed whether or not he was or was not a serial killer, but he had no eyebrows, and that to me says serial killer.
I'm also a drag queen, excuse me.
Yeah. They kill the runway. No, like, not that guy. But there was another guy that I hooked up with that, like, this was, like, in Spain. And then the thing is, like, I feel like he was, like, a pedophile. Yeah.
Ew. Wait. Yeah. Ew.
Wait. Am I disgusted? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Ew.
I had to like double take on that.
So the thing is like I was hooking up with him and like I mean he was like attractive or whatever. So the story was that like I was like I took a dance class that day and then I like went to like hook up with him and like I mean seemed kind of normal or whatever and then I went to his place and then like I was really tired from dance class or whatever. So I'm like hooking up with him and then I just noticed that his like dialogue gets very like about like young people or youth. He was just like, oh yeah, you look so like a little boy and like, oh, I love that. And I was just like, oh, you know, like one time I just hooked up with this like virgin. I think he was like 13 and he's,
ew.
Like, he's like saying all of this to me and I was like, so like, and yeah, like I was just like, okay, I really do feel like I have to kind of get out of here. But then this is also the game that you play when you already know that you're in a dangerous situation. I feel like sometimes you're just trying to not escalate it,
right,
with somebody
or not to provoke
who's,
it.
Yeah, like somebody who's like could be very risky. But there was a mixture of that, also just a mixture of that I was just like too tired to deal with it.
So did you just like lay there and listen to him say that to you?
No, so what happened was like he was like taking forever to kind of get off. Mm-hmm. And like I had already finished.
Yeah,
so I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna like I was just like, okay, I'm done. And I just, like, really need a nap right now. So, like, he's, like, still trying to get himself off. And I'm just, like, too tired. And he's, like, still, like, going off and on, like, going on and on about this, like, whole, like, I don't know, like, his stuff about, like, young boys and young Asian boys and stuff like that. Which, again, is, like, another thing that just, like, is, like, characteristic of a lot of the guys, like, as a generalization, a lot of the young guys who, or a lot of the guys who are particularly into, like, Asian guys, because I feel like it's like a youth session type thing.
Right.
And so he was just like, I had finished. He had not finished, but he was trying to finish himself off. He was talking about it. I was just like, okay, I'm too tired to deal with this. So I just like took a nap and then like woke up and like he was still talking about it. I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to go now.
See, isn't that even more scary, the fact that you took a nap?
I was just really tired.
Like, what if you like, what if you took a nap and then you woke up and you were like somewhere else?
Okay, the thing is, like, I don't recommend to do this, but mind you, the thing is, I feel like where there was like some kind of security blanket was, there was actually like, he was staying in an apartment with, and he had roommates and they were in their living room and I could hear them.
Yeah, but what if they were all part of the plan? See?
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, okay, like, I'm just playing the odds, okay? Like, what percentage of people are serial killers? And then, like, what are the chances that they live together?
A lot of chances.
I feel like usually they're, like, kind of like a, you know, like a lone wolf.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like there's a community of serial killers out there who's, like, willing to help each other out.
I don't know. Is there? I feel like you should tell me, like, or I feel like you should just, like, if there is a, like, let us know in the comments if there's a serial killer forum.
But please don't kill us.
But what are you, like, are you scared of anything? You're the one that brought it up, so this is your topic. So tell me what your fear is.
I would say my biggest fear would probably be just contracting and getting something.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. But, like, what is it? But I feel like I guess my assumption is that the fear is what comes after, no? Like, dealing with it. Have you ever thought about dealing with it? Like, if you contracted HIV. Or, like, which is, I guess, for gay people, supposedly the, like, worst one to get. Which, I mean, if we're going to be, like, you know, modern in this day, HIV is not a death sentence. Just putting it out there. People need to be educated. Don't, like, you
know. Stigmatize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think totally it's, like, kind of what to do with it afterwards. I mean, I think that's definitely the fear of it. Like, what do I do if I did tested positive? Like, and how would my life change around that?
Quick question, though. Is it just about HIV or is it about other ones?
I think just anything.
Anything.
Any, like, STIs.
Have you ever had an STI?
No, thank God. Knock on wood.
Then you haven't lived, mama.
But, yeah, I guess that's, like, one that's, like, my biggest fear would be, especially of just, like, hooking up. It's just, like, yeah, contracting something that they... Or not even, like, any STIs or something, but just, like, even contracting some other... I don't know,
COVID.
Like, COVID or, like, foot fungus or something.
Foot fungus.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, what if, like, sometimes people have, like fungus toenail and it's, like, contagious and then, like,
pink
they don't...
Eye.
Yeah. And then they don't know. And then, like, they start, like, cuddling their feet around you and then all of a sudden you get a bacterial infection from it. Those things I'm more scared of than dying.
Why?
Because those are things that are, like, subtle. At least with dying,
okay, but, like,
they know they're going to kill you. So at least it's, like, very, like, up front in your face that they're going to kill you. But
it's
at least
just like, God, just get it over with. I just want to know, am I going to live or going to die? I don't want to know whether or not I'm just going to survive with this disease. Just kill me.
Exactly.
Murder me already. No, I don't get it. I still don't get it. Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean in terms of, like, what do you think are the consequences if you were to get, like, a disease?
Well, the consequences would be, I think, would be, is, like, main thing is, like, dealing it with family, be dealing it with future potential partners, dealing it with also my, I guess, health, because I don't live a healthy life already, so I don't want to have anything else that I know that I'm... putting on myself as bad health be brought upon other people.
I guess so, but I guess, but then do you feel like you're quite knowledgeable about what diseases are out there and what you would do in those cases?
No.
Then I feel like that's probably the fear, then, the fear of the unknown. No, because I feel like the thing is, if you're to know about things, mind you, I don't feel like I really know, and I'm not a doctor yet. But, like, HIV, I feel like, because this is the thing, is like, this is why, not that I'm like not scared, or I feel like I think that I want to be kind of cautious about those kinds of things. But say, for example, like HIV, like I thought about getting like what would happen if I were to contract HIV. And I've just thought that, like, you know, it's kind of almost like everything else that you has kind of come my way in my life in terms of like not everything else, but it's just like something that I know that you'll just kind of have to deal with. It's an extra kind of complication to a lot of things, but it's still kind of manageable.
Right. Well, I think that's what I know. I know definitely, like, especially with now modern day technology or science and technologies, like, is that like survival, and there is like ways, and it is just maybe like a minor what did you say?
Minor, but
like sometimes it could just complicate a little bit things more than it would if you didn't have positive or HIV or anything. Well, but I think the main thing is just like the first impact of it. I think why I'm more nervous for is I know those things are the possibilities.
Yeah.
I don't know how actually my reaction would be if I were to get it, and what would I do in the midst of that whole instance of figuring it out, of learning it. I think that's what I'm nervous for. Like, I don't know if I'll just like break and then like actually like, you know, just like go into spiral down, or I don't know if I'm gonna think positive and be like, oh yeah, like I can survive.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, yeah, no, I can understand that. Like, maybe you're not like so aware of like how you'd react to it, and maybe that's kind of the fear. But I guess like for myself, I don't know. Maybe just because I've kind of tried to think about it, like it's just a reality when it comes to being a gay man that's like potentially always around the corner. Like, you don't necessarily think that like you're impervious to it. So I guess I've just put a lot of thought into like potentially what that would be like and tried to empathize with that situation. So I don't necessarily feel like I'd be actually really scared of that happening so much. I mean, the part that I'm scared about is actually the things that I don't know about being HIV positive.
Right.
But at the same time, I think it's kind of that hard balance because you want to prepare yourself, but at the same time, you don't want to necessarily dwell on a situation that hasn't happened yet.
Right, so and be like over anxious about it.
Yeah, so it's kind of that balance. But I mean, from what I've understand and from what I've talked to, like what I've seen from people who are HIV positive, like I think what gives me hope about it is the fact that I see so many people leave really like full and meaning. Like, it's not, I don't know, it's really kind of admirable, like, when you've seen the types of, when you've seen people who've had HIV and how much that they've been able to accomplish.
Right.
And therefore, it really doesn't mean that, like it's going to prevent me or hold me back from it, because I've just seen so many people with HIV be able to do so many positive things.
Right.
So yeah, like kind of stigmatized, and because you don't know that much information about it, it seems scarier than it actually is. But like, it's just kind of about knowledge, and like, you know, there's certain diseases that are kind of like curable now. There's ones that are not as curable that just kind of add a layer of like inconvenience and complication. But like, it, like when you think about your goals, like overall in life, I think the thing to be scared about is when those things impede on your larger goals. And from every experience that I've had in talking to people with those kinds of things, it's an extra obstacle maybe, but it doesn't mean that it will stop you from achieving your goals.
Right. Well, that's what I know. And that's why I know that. I think that everything else is like the in between of like getting over that, getting the knowledge of that, having the access to overcome those obstacles. I think those are the things that up in the air for me, just because also like, yeah, I just don't know it. And I feel like a part of it is like, you'll only know it once you have it.
Yeah.
Kind of things. But yeah, that's just my fear about it. But I think that's also just a common thing that like gay men have.
But I feel like my fear is more like warranted than your fear.
Why? I think it's both the same.
Because you'd literally die, girl.
Yeah, but you get reincarnated.
You don't know that. I might be like, I might be Christian.
Well,
I don't believe in
reincarnation.
You know, I believe in like good old Jesus and heaven and hell and, you know, Krishna.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
Boy. How it goes.
I don't know. White people and cabins?
They love cabins. Honestly.
They do. Well, so also, I just feel like... Sorry, go ahead. What do you feel about white people in cabins?
No, I was just going to say, special shout out to our friend Kaylee. She has a cabin. She's very white. You know, this is for you.
Shout out, Kaylee.
Kaylee, my husband is not for you.
But yeah, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, I mean, mind you, I feel like the thing, okay, like where I feel like it ties into this category is like there's places where I feel like it doesn't tie into this category. I just feel strongly about white people in cabins.
Yes.
But it doesn't apply to this. So maybe I'll start there. So I feel like the thing is, why do y'all have cabins? How do you afford that shit? How do you afford a place that you go on, like where you go to every like third weekend? On top of the house that you already own and maybe another property that you have as an investment, how do you own another property that's just like there for every third weekend for you to just be like, oh, I need to escape from the city?
Right? I find it so crazy. I don't know. I think a lot of it is definitely like culture and like privilege. Like, no. I feel like a part of it isn't like, I always just hear it's like, oh yeah, like I had this cabin because like my grandfather or grandmother like had it and it was just like passed on to them as an inheritance.
But you know, though, I wonder if that like kind of speaks to the larger like thing. Like, part of me can be kind of bitter about it because I'm like, my parents don't have a cabin.
Yeah, I was bitter about it too. I remember growing up all the time in my elementary school just being like, oh, like, also, so, like, Josh and, like, Brandon was, like, going off to where the family's to the cabin for the summer.
Sounds really fucking hot.
I know, Josh and Brandon.
Going to the cabin for the summer.
Right? I wish... But
cool for the summer. Take me down into your paradise. Don't be scared because I'm your body time.
I actually really don't know that song.
You don't know that song?
I know. I just know, take me to the summer.
Yeah. No, it's cool for the summer.
Whatever.
Josh and Brandon were cool for the summer.
But like, you know, I was just like jealous about the fact that like, A, they got to spend the like whole summer together, Josh and Brandon. And the fact that they were like away in this like paradise cabin that apparently I can't have. Or just, I don't know how to achieve or to have. Because I guess my parents and I are immigrants.
Well, okay, that actually kind of brings into my point, though. It's just like, part of me can be kind of upset about the fact that it's like, oh, it's just like a privilege that I don't have, and it can kind of like blame white people. But like, I feel like there's also an element of just being like, well, it's just kind of a cultural thing. Maybe the thing is like white culture, North American culture, European culture really like emphasizes the value of owning property as an investment.
Right.
Which... some cultures maybe just don't see that as an investment, you know? Like, I just remember, like, I guess this is going to be racist.
Say it, girl. Say it.
I feel like Filipino people and their relationship with credit cards.
Let's not go in there because that's a very racist topic.
It is a very racist topic. Let's talk about it.
Okay, fine. Let's go for it. Let's go for it.
So the people that I've known that like, I feel like their relationship with credit cards hasn't been very good because they just think that like, oh, I just put it on my credit card and it will be okay. I could just pay the minimum.
And you think that specifically has to do with Filipino people?
I feel like it has something to do specifically with the way that like people have been taught, like in terms of like I know you also have had a certain degree of credit card debt and you've explained to me, yeah, I'll just like pay the minimum. And I'm just like, that's just no. And like, as like a Chinese person, I feel like my mom said, have any other kind of debt except for credit card debt. You can get a line of credit. You can get a loan. I don't know what their kind of credits are, but just don't get credit card debt. You can get a mortgage. Debt on that is fine. Just don't get credit card debt. And I feel like, I don't know whether or not that message, like for some cultures, gets passed down for other cultures, I question whether or not that information gets passed down.
No, it's not. Definitely not. I mean, I think what comes it down to is, yeah, the education and knowledge about just credit cards in general. I don't think, I've never been told that same topic from your mom of being like, don't ever get credit card debt. And the whole explanation of why not kind of thing. I just knew that it was there and it was like a potentialness for you to have this kind of money and stuff that you do have to pay off later. But I don't understand.
You can't hear it right now.
You're rolling your eyes.
As my friend Sean says, my eyes are rolling down the street.
I can see it. And for you listeners, he's rolling really hard. But the thing is, it's just like, it's, I mean, I think this is goes back to our topic before where I think it's partially like cultural, because I don't think that in most Filipino cultures that has been taught to us anyways about how to deal with credit cards or anything. I feel like our main thing, especially if we were born and raised in the Philippines, our main thing is to just get out of there. And well, by any means necessary, by that either being like by using debt, by doing like shady things, dealing in the black market or whatever, like
sir, ma'am, DBD, sir.
Yeah. You know, like selling illegal things, counterfeit things or whatever. But I feel like our main thing, because it's such like a third world country to live in, that like our main thing is once we get out of there is just to, you know, try to survive.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I just feel like there's some, oh, so kind of tying the white, so white people in cabins.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes where that makes more of the connection for me is about like white people's contempt for nature. Like they want to own nature. They want to be involved in nature. They want to destroy nature, and nature is their bitch. And then there's like the like, and that's kind of like a white kind of thing. And then I feel like say for example, like the indigenous thing is to be more live in harmony with nature,
right?
And then Asian thing is, well, East Asian thing is to avoid nature completely and just stay in malls. So like there's just like, I don't know, it's just interesting, there's different approaches to it. And I find that like, especially having the cabin or whatever, I guess maybe for me is like a little bit reminiscent of that. And I find that white guy, like it's just it's associated with masculinity,
I guess. Like in just tying into it all, I think that as white people have their cabins to go to, at least us East Asian people have our malls, because yeah, we fucking love them for some reason.
You have your cabins, we have our malls.
Yeah. So at least I think ours is bigger than yours, so
yeah.
Anyways, thanks for listening. I hope that you got your $3 worth out of our
I think that's like how we decided how much subscription to our podcast is going to cost.
Yeah, $3. I think that's fast. Like, it's like, it's not a loony, it's not a toony.
It's a three-ny.
But yeah, I hope that you got everything that you needed, or not, because we don't really care.
No, it's too hard to live up to my own wants and needs. I can't live up to yours.
So in closing, I'd just like to say for the record,
nothing is said or sand in stone. Ooh.